A reading from Mark 3:1-6. Another time he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." When Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger, and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus.
Yeah, in the very beginning of this passage, it says, and some of them, talking about the religious leaders, were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. In my mind, immediately goes back to that amazing scene in Jerusalem where Jesus had stayed behind and had impressed all of the religious leaders at that time of how much knowledge of God he had. And they were sitting around listening to him. And when Mary comes back and kind of scolds him for staying behind, he says, "But don't you know that I need to remain in my Father's house or be in my Father's house?" So here we have Jesus coming under pressure quite early in the story from these same religious leaders, not the same people, but their heirs. This is, you know, a number of years later, 15 years later. And they're now plotting to kill him already or take him, you know, throw him in jail or whatever. And this is a theme that goes throughout not only the four Gospels, but it reaches into the Acts and all the letters of Paul and beyond in Revelation, is that Jesus has a message that a lot of the ruling class feel very uncomfortable with. And this is just an amazing passage from Mark, but I wanted to get that across because...
Yeah, totally. It is the ruling class who feel uncomfortable with it, but it's also all of us. If we really take in what Jesus wants to come and say and change and do in us, in spite of us, through us, for us, our human hearts are resistant to that. This phrase in here is really standing out to me. It says, he looked around at them in anger, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. And when I read that, if I'm being really honest and trying to be humble about the scriptures, humble about Jesus, I think, ooh, how many times has he looked into my heart and seen stubbornness and been deeply distressed? You know, probably quite a few times, if I'm really being honest. And so, I mean, this is why he came though, right? This is why he came to do the thing our stubborn hearts would not do on our own, which is actually pay the price for consequences of all our sin. He was obedient even unto death. He was not, if he had a stubborn heart, if he had a stiff neck, as it says in the Old Testament, he would have never gone to the cross, but he surrendered himself and he went to the cross on our behalf. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace.
One of the purposes of these podcasts has been and will continue to be trying to explain how to read the Bible. This was a problem I had. I read the Bible for years without actually knowing what I was reading. I think that's not uncommon because the story is complex and it covers a great amount of time. But one of the ways that I have settled on in terms of reading that this is a story, primarily God's story, about the entrance of that story of his son into the, you know, comes into the world. It's about the Holy Spirit, but it's also about each one of us. And there's so many places in the Bible where we show up with all of our baggage, whether we're Jonah on the dock trying to figure out where to go, or Elijah up, you know, listening to a still small or low whisper, mm-hmm. the word of God. I mean, it's just all over the Bible that we, whether we know it or not, we're intersecting with God time and time again. And
yeah, you phrased it as how to read the Bible, but I think what you're really talking about is how to let the Bible read us. How to read the Bible. That's all I did a moment ago when I read this and said, you know, does Jesus look at my stubborn heart and is he deeply distressed as he was looking at theirs? And the answer is probably yes. I was just letting the Bible read me. I was trying to let Jesus through the word look into my heart. And that's just what you were describing as well. And I think that's the switch for the Christian who's maturing in his or her faith, is at some point you start letting the Bible read you.
I think that's absolutely true. I was just painting sort of a bigger kind of way of dealing with the narrative. But mm-hmm. I think long before I knew really what I was reading, I saw myself time and time again in the Bible. So I'm absolutely mm-hmm. with you on that. Mm-hmm.